Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The T-Biz podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that simultaneously heals and energizes the body as it soothes the mind. Making fine tea is a blend of artistry and craftsmanship. The $200 billion tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts global influence, employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Escalation of conflict in the Middle East is dimming the tea shipping outlook. Bubble tea brands line up for IPOs in China. And police recover a stolen gold matcha bowl valued at 10 million yen. Plus, coffee versus tea. The Specialty Coffee Association's annual exposition in Chicago last week attracted more than a dozen tea exhibitors and featured several expert presentations on tea. While most consumers visit grocery and department stores to purchase tea, coffee shops and cafes are the second most popular retail outlets by value. More than 38,400 branded coffee shops in the United States and 42,800 in Europe generate 10 to 20% of their beverage revenue from specialty tea. In this episode, T-Biz narrates the highlights of a talk by Youngmak Kim, the principal scientist at Finlay's. In his presentation, Kim compares coffee and tea, the world's most popular caffeinated beverages, with useful insights on distribution, markets, and relative health benefits. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What makes a perfect cup of Ceylon tea? The perfect cup is from the tea businesses that ensure the protection of all the children living within their tea estates. We salute Keilani Valley, Telawakili, Bogowanthalawa, Harana, and Eliptia Tea Estates. Support Save the Children, Sri Lanka.
The first deaths of crew members and the escalation of aerial combat between Iran and Israel dim hopes for the resumption of tea shipments via the Suez Canal. Premiums remain high but are stable as insurance provider Lloyd's assesses the potential closure of the Strait of Hormuz following Iran's seizure of the MSC Ares, a 14,300 TEU container ship owned by a U.S. shipowner. Scheduled disruptions have slowed growth at British and North Sea ports in Rotterdam, Bremen, and Hamburg, which lands most of Europe's tea. As longer transits reduce availability, charter rates for containers increase. In February, due to Red Sea disruptions, freight rates to Europe from India doubled. Europe is India's second-largest export destination. Drewry's World Container Index was $2,795 for a 40-foot container last week, up 64% from the same week during the previous year. Rates are 97% higher than the 2009 pre-pandemic average of $1,420. Transatlantic rates remain stable. Routing around Africa adds 10 to 14 days at sea for tea arriving from Asia, Africa, and tea producers in India, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and Nepal. UK blenders and grocers importing packaged tea report some shortages. Half of the UK's tea imports are sourced in Kenya and India. The only bright spot is that oil prices remain flat. The U.S. Central Command says its forces successfully engaged two unmanned aerial vehicles in areas controlled by Iranian-backed Houthis this week without damage to U.S. ships, coalition, or commercial traffic. The March 6th deaths of three sailors on board the Barbados flag cargo ship True Confidence off the coast of southern Yemen followed the March 3 sinking of a bulk carrier struck in February in the Gulf of Aden. Since October 2023, the Houthis have attacked ships transiting the Red Sea on more than 60 occasions. Business Insight. The Economist Intelligence Unit lists conflict in the Middle East as one of five high-impact threats to business worldwide, citing risks associated with disruptions to the region's maritime shipping routes and global terrorist activities perpetrated by non-state actors. Quote, in an already tight oil market, disruption to oil production and shipping from the Middle East would increase international oil prices significantly, further prolonging cost of living pressures, particularly for oil-importing emerging economies. A regional conflict in the Middle East would also draw in external powers, potentially exacerbating tensions between the U.S. and its allies on the one hand, and China and Russia on the other. End quote. The market for freshly made bubble tea will reach 200 billion renminbi in 2025, according to the China Chain Store and Franchise Association. An estimated 486,000 bubble tea stores saw an increase of 40% in annual sales last year to reach a market size of 145 billion renminbi. 10 new style tea brands dominate the market, with leader Misha operating 36,000 shops. Guoming and Cha Panda, Auntie Tea Jenny, and YH Tang each have between 5,000 and 10,000 outlets. The Financial Times writes that Cha Panda's 7,900 stores will soon be listed on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. It will be the second bubble tea chain to go public, following Nayuki in June of 2021. Nayuki was valued at 29.2 billion Hong Kong dollars with a share price of 17.04. According to the Hong Kong index, it is currently trading at 2.6, down 85% since the initial offering. Cha Panda is seeking 2.6 billion Hong Kong dollars, about 330 million U.S. Founded in 2008, it is the third largest of the new style tea ventures. Guoming currently operates 9,000 outlets. Cha Panda and Guoming typically price their drinks at about 20 renminbi, while Misha sells its tea at half that price. Several competing firms, including Ante Tea Jenny and Chaji Cha Baidao, have recently announced IPOs. Mi Sha Ming Cheng filed an IPO application with the Hong Kong Index in January 2024. The company is seeking 500 million U.S. dollars. In 2022, Mi Sha announced plans to list on the Shenzhen Stock Exchange, seeking about 6.5 billion renminbi, which would have been 910 million U.S. dollars. But no official announcements followed. Quote, bubble tea is one of the few bright spots on the consumer front in China, with low-priced operators doing particularly well, end quote, according to NASDAQ News and Insights. Ben Cavender, managing director at China Market Research Group, told NASDAQ, quote, whoever can IPO the fastest and get to a stable operating position may be the winner over the long term. End quote. Tokyo police have successfully recovered a 24-karat gold matcha tea bowl stolen on April 11th from a Japanese department store. Police on Saturday arrested a man suspected of stealing the engraved bowl priced at 10.4 million yen, about 65,000 U.S. dollars. The 380-gram bowl was confiscated on April 15th from a Taito secondhand shop that had paid a Koto Ward antique dealer 4 million yen. The Koto Ward shop had paid 1.8 million to Masuro Hori, a 32-year-old from Tokyo's Kyoto Ward, on the day of the heist. Dealers are required to submit a payment declaration to the Office of Taxes for any gold valued at 2 million or greater. Surveillance video shows a man slipping the bowl, which was displayed in an acrylic display case, into his backpack. Hori later admitted to committing the crime, saying that he was in debt. The exhibition featured more than 1,000 gold items, including a 38 million yen, 6-foot-tall dragon covered in 3,000 sheets of gold leaf. The bowl is the work of Kuchi Ishikawa, a third-generation goldsmith who won the prestigious Tokyo Governor's Award in 1988. Next, Arvinda Anantharaman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending April 19th, 2024. Quiet week here. In top news, Vikram Singhulia, Managing Director and CEO of the Amalgamated Plantations Private Limited, has resigned. He will leave the company with effect to June 2024. This makes him the second head of a tea corporation resigning this year after Atul Astana's exit from the Godrej Group. The Amalgamated Plantations Board has appointed Sukhjit Singh Malhotra, currently Vice President PSO at Tata Consumer Products, as full-time director and CEO designate from April 9th, 2024. The Amalgamated Plantations is the second largest tea producer in India, owning 25 estates in Assam and the Doors and producing 40 million kilos of tea annually. In other news, all eyes are on weather this season. There's a prolonged drought from October to March in North India, which has impacted tea crop. First flush picking began in late March, and although rains have begun, crop is still in low quantity. It's being seen in Darjeeling and also in Kangra. Vivek Lochan of Tokti says quality has been good and better than in recent years thanks to the slow growth and the lack of rain. In Kangra too, volume has been impacted, but the tea quality is up. At the moment, the first flush verdict is low crop, but good quality sweet teas, better than in recent years. How the market responds to it is to be seen.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steep simply and conveniently.
Coffee versus tea. The Specialty Coffee Association's annual exposition in Chicago last week attracted more than a dozen tea exhibitors and featured several expert presentations on tea. While most consumers visit grocery and department stores to purchase tea, coffee shops and cafes are the second most popular retail outlets by value. More than 38,400 branded coffee shops in the United States and 42,800 in Europe generate 10 to 20% of their beverage revenue from specialty tea. In this episode, T-Biz narrates the highlights of a talk by Youngmak Kim, the principal scientist at Finlay's. In his presentation, Kim compares coffee and tea, the world's most popular caffeinated beverages, with useful insights on distribution, markets, and relative health benefits. Youngmuk Kim, a PhD, is the principal scientist of Advanced Analytical Sensory Science Processing Research and Processing Improvement at Findlay's. He joined the company in 2019 after 10 years as a senior research scientist at Synergy Flavors. Kim, who works at the Findlay's office in Rhode Island, has studied tea and coffee for the past 16 years. In this talk, he describes the distribution, markets, and health benefits associated with the two beverages.
All right, so world is divided, okay? For non-alcoholic beverage drinkers, world is divided, okay? So if I draw a line here, boom, I can draw one line right here, boom. So left side, so North America, South America, and mostly European countries. So coffee is more popular. And here, Asian countries and some of African countries and Australia, yes, tea is more popular. The world is unfortunately divided, okay? Rivalry, still. Okay, so let's take a look at global beverage, non-alcoholic beverage market. So here, tea is clear winner. So overall in the world, people drink more tea over coffee. But if we're talking about U.S. beverage market, coffee is clear winner. So definitely United States is a coffee nation. So I want to talk about it. I want to talk a little bit more about tea market in the United States. So mostly this guy, Barb and I. So tea gave a huge popularity to convenience. There's the quenching, flavor, and as a healthy choice. So traditional tea market, including loose tea leaves and tea bags. So those traditional tea market increased by 3 times for 20 years. So red leaf tea market, like this guy, the bars tea, and then iced tea in restaurants. So red leaf tea market increased by 38 times for the same period of time. So that makes tea the seventh most popular type of beverage in the United States after juice, coffee, milk, beer, soft drink, and water, okay? So tea is gaining more popularity, so like moving to serve that person. About 75% of tea consumed in the world, that's black tea. But this trend is a little bit, no, even more extreme in the United States. About 90% of tea consumed in the United States, that's black tea. So black tea is extremely popular. Okay, about 75 to 80% of tea consumed in the United States. For Americans, no, that's like iced tea in restaurants or bar tea. Okay, 75 to 80% of drink is cold drink. That is why red leaf tea market increased much faster than traditional coffee market. That is why black tea is a lot more popular in the United States. I mean, okay, the question is, okay, why green tea is not popular in the United States? Because Americans do not like green tea's leafy and fresh flavor. Think about that. At cool temperature, green tea's leafy flavor is even worse. It like, you know, taste, smell like swamp to me. Okay? So green tea is not popular at all. Okay? Think about black tea. No problem. At temperature, cool temperature, there is no fresh leafy flavor at all. Okay? So that is why black tea is really popular. Okay, so that was brief introduction.
After describing the great divide between coffee and tea-drinking nations, Kim explained the processing and chemical makeup of tea.
So, roasting is the art, diamond is the art of science. Caffeine is the single most important compound for both tea and coffee. So I'm going to come back to this question a little later. Okay, so next one is sugar, okay? If we talk about simple sugar, okay, the amount is like, you know, tea has a little bit more or the amount thing. But this is not it. Before we send this to carbohydrate polymers to be smart, so coffee is clear middle. Okay? That is why coffee can use the sugar, okay, during roasting process. This sugar is being used to develop coffee's unique flavor and then appearance and taste. And then has more, coffee has more protein, okay, than tea and the liquid. Yeah, for sure. If we put coffee and tea, yeah, we see more liquid flowing along the top. And the last one, this is another important topic. Okay, so I want to talk about polyphenolic compound. So main polyphenol is frozen acid here, up to 10%. And main polyphenols, catechins and some others, they are, in most green tea and black, they are up to 40%, okay? So again, after caffeine, I will come back to this discussion later. Very good, trust me. Okay, so second comparison, okay? How coffee beans and tea leaves are made, okay? So you go ahead and think of the tea leaf. Oh, it's not tea, that's just tea leaf. Okay, that is not tea yet, okay? And the different thing there, right? Pick up cherry, it's not coffee, right? It has to go through, yeah, actual other process, but you know, the most important part of the process, okay? Because so, just like that, most important part of tea making process is fermentation, so I'm going to talk about that. So the whole five things are made in one same raw material, which is Camellia sinensis tea leaf. So once again, real teas are made with only this tea leaf. Camellia sinensis, okay? Teas are not made with this Camellia sinensis tea leaf. So something like mint, peppermint, chamomile, they are not teas, they are herbs, okay? So they cannot be poured teas, they need to be poured herbs, okay? So teas made with this Camellia sinensis tea leaf. Let me start with white tea. White tea is made with young tea leaf and dried later. That's white tea. And the green tea is also made with Camellia sinensis tea leaf, for sure, and made with mature tea leaf, and then it's dried later, okay? So the difference between this white tea, green tea, is either made with young tea leaf or mature tea leaf. After harvesting, both teas are good through this either steaming or pan fire heating process. So it inactivates the enzyme to the polyphenol oxidase to prevent the oxidative fermentation, okay? So teas are the dried, not fermented teas. But oolong tea is different, okay? Oolong tea is made with mature tea leaf and goes through the fermentation process, and then black tea is steaming so far, mature tea leaf and goes through the fermentation process. So the difference between oolong and black, that is the degree of fermentation, okay? So when tea is partially fermented, I mean when the degree of fermentation is between 10 and 80%, we say that tea is only partially fermented, now it is called oolong tea. And when tea is fermented about 80%, it is fully fermented tea. Now that is called black tea, okay? So those teas are from the same material, but depends on the processing. Yeah, we have four teas so far, but there is one more tea. So some black teas undergo additional aging process, just like wine and whiskey are always better, okay? So that tea is called porting, okay? So the aging process is up to from a couple years, even up to like a couple hundred years, okay? Always better, and needless to say, this is the most different type of tea, okay? So those five teas are made with one same raw material.
Fermentation develops the flavor of tea, explains Kim. But coffee roasting generates an entirely different taste profile.
So roasting is the art, so I want to say it's the art of science, you know what I mean. But I want to focus more about the taste change during roasting process, okay? So overall, during roasting, bitterness increase and then acidity decrease, okay? So there is one main reason for this, bitterness increase, acidity decrease. That's crotonase, the main polyphenol compound stopping, okay, crotonase. Let's take a look at why. Okay, so very simple, the crotonic acid in green beans, okay, it took them sour, very sour, and then by roasting process, it becomes crotonase lactose, okay, bitterness, okay? So sourness increase and bitterness increase during roasting. But that's good, okay, that's a good reaction. So again, crotonic acid becomes crotonic lactone, so it's bitter, but shouldn't be bitter. But if too much heat is added, so either the lactone will become vanillin, okay? Still bitter, but it's harshly bitter, okay? That is why too much heat makes the coffee like harshly bitter, unpleasantly bitter. Okay, so actually, so two main organic acid in coffee, which is citric acid and malic acid, they decrease during floating, okay? So L3 going down. So again, this is for derivative, different for iodine. They all going down, whose either degraded by acid or it transformed into a protein mass. So S upon during loading. So hydrogen beam has less acid. So how about acid T? So I already talked about bitterness, right? Bitterness, higher bitterness in green tea and lower bitterness in black tea because of fermentation. And of course, because of fermentation, so black tea has more acid. So during fermentation, the sugars are metabolized into organic acid, and then other organic acid is also cleaved, okay, during fermentation process. So this black tea has more acid than
caffeine is the unifying component that drives sales of both coffee and tea. Kim explains that while tea contains more caffeine per pound than coffee, tea drinkers actually consume less per cup.
So, as time is done, I came back to this. The single most important compound is tea and coffee, caffeine. So, start with the coffee, caffeine, and tea. So caffeine is the most popular central nervous system in the world. So about 90% of adults in the United States consume caffeine daily. And then also again, so tea contains a lot of caffeine. So about 2.5% caffeine by dry one. So when I ask, you know, like my audience, okay, hey, well, it's tea has more caffeine, black or green. Okay, when I ask that, like a most of both that black has more. That's common knowledge. So when I just go to Google and then just type which tea has more caffeine, and this is the information I can easily get from the web. Okay? That green coffee has more caffeine than black tea, and black tea has more caffeine than green tea. Okay? This is common knowledge. Okay? But let's think about it. I have chili, fresh chili, and to make green tea. Okay? This chili simply dry. Now I have green tea. To make black tea, this chili goes through fermentation process. Now I have black tea. Okay? So the only difference green and black fermentation process. So if there is more caffeine in black tea, that means caffeine should be generated during the fermentation process, right? Right? So I decided to figure that out. So I developed this experimental plan right over here. So I got fresh cut chili. Okay, and some of them did not ferment at all, and some of them were fermented for 20, 40, 60, 80%. And then after each fermentation, they were removed, and then I returned the caffeine, okay, with those samples. So, if caffeine is generated during fermentation, that means I will have crap like that. Because more fermentation will give you more caffeine, right? Okay? So, this is the result. So what happened? Caffeine actually degrades during fermentation by the natural enzyme equilibrium, okay, to degrade. So green tea has more caffeine than black tea, okay? That's critical. Then why we see something like, you know, this kind of information, okay? So at least in the United States, you know, there is no domestic tea growing, okay? So there is no way. Yeah, I did it very well in Korea. So there is no way, you know, that we can something like that. So when people do this, go ahead and buy, like, you know, like a different black tea, and then or like, you know, like a puzzle green tea or whatever, different brand, and then, you know, measure the caffeine amount. That is not fair comparison, right? Without, you know, harvesting region, harvesting time, how they process, what's the degree of fermentation or whatever. Without those kind of conditions, this is not meaningful comparison, okay? That is why we see this kind of misinformation. Okay, very easy, right? When we talk about caffeine and caffeine, because caffeine is very, very stable compound, okay? Very heat resistant. So from here, light and then like a dark blue. And caffeine actually does not change. So it looks like a little bit increase, but you know why, right? Because the moisture is lost during roasting process, okay? But basically, caffeine is not changing during roasting process. Okay, so now I want to compare the caffeine in coffee and tea, okay? So this is USDA data. So okay, coffee prepared with tap water and then black tea prepared with tap water. Okay, so per cup, so there is 40 milligrams of caffeine in coffee and then 20 milligrams of caffeine in a cup of black tea. So this is two segments. Coffee has more caffeine than tea. When we talk about the cup, okay? How about the raw material? So I mentioned this like 3-4 times already, but tea has more caffeine, okay? About 3-4%, and then coffee, 1.1%, okay? When we talk about raw material. Then why in the same cup of tea? They won't talk about that, right? Because we can get only 32 servings from 1 pound of coffee. But from 1 pound of tea, we can get 236 servings.
And finally, what is the unifying benefit of coffee and tea?
So the definition of an antioxidant is prevention of oxidation. Okay? So to understand the antioxidant, we need to understand oxidation first. Okay, so I will start with oxidation. So I will tell you what oxidation is first. So here, so it all starts with the oxygen. Okay, so oxygen, we need the oxygen to breathe and then to survive, right? We have to breathe. So here are oxygen molecules, usually O2, okay, two oxygen molecules with 16 electrons. Okay, that's the oxygen. So oxygen is usually pretty stable. Okay, here oxygen here and the oxygen in my body. Very stable. But when oxygen is exposed to some external factors, oxygen loses to one or more electrons. Okay? So when oxygen is exposed to some external factors like radiation, poisonous food, cigarette smoking, UV light exposure, water and air pollution, and excessive sunlight, excessive exercise, and bilateral human brain. Okay? So what I mean here is, okay, so we have oxygen in my body, right? In our body, for sure. And after we smoke, then oxygen in our body will be exposed to cigarette smoking, right? Then oxygen in my body will be stressed and will lose one or more electrons. Okay, as an example. After that, oxygen is not oxygen anymore. Now it is free radical. Okay, I'm pretty sure you guys have all that. So the problem with this free radical is extremely reactive and always wanna be normal. Okay, so free radicals start stealing electrons from other normal cells in your body. So after losing electrons, of course, your cells get damaged and will start to burn off. Okay? And here's another problem. This damaged cell start acting just like free radical and want to be normal. Okay? I need electrons. Okay? I want to be normal. So start stealing again electrons from other normal cells in your body. Okay? This is the protein and DNA. After losing electrons, of course, they will get damaged. And start to burn function. This reaction is called oxidation, loss of electrons. That's oxidation. Okay? Simply speaking, loss of electrons, that's oxidation. So once this oxidation happens in metals, like iron, rusting will occur. What is the difference in food and vegetable? That comes from oxidation, probably. Once this happens in our body for a long period of time, what's going to happen? Even in this lot of disease, including two biggest killers of Americans, cancer and heart disease. What if we human body, which is accumulated there for a long period of time, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, what's going to happen? We will get aging. We are getting old because of oxidation. So according to World Foremost Aging Research, Dr. Oil said that in NIH, aging is a disease. The human life can simply reflect the level of free radical oxidative damage that accumulates in cells. When enough damage accumulates, cells can't survive properly anymore and they just give up. Okay? So, this is why we look older than 10, 20 years old because of oxidation. Not just you, but a book. When you book 50 years old book, because of oxidation, you look old. How about building? 50-year, 10-year building, what? Because of oxygen, okay? Let's think about humans a little bit more, okay? So, like, people live, like, longer than 100 years. Where do they live? New York City? No. They live, like, a mountain area, right? With clean air, okay? Pretty much, clean air, okay? Clean air, that's very important. So I pre-measured here, right? So here, food alcohol is even generated by normal human breathing. So that means if you inhale 100 grams of oxygen, about 15% of it there, it will be free alcohol. So here, we sit here and we are more free alcohol generator. Okay. So open door, come please, again. Ventilation, okay? So yeah, so like even though like you sit in your room and oh yeah, so down here, all by myself, there is click door. You're killing yourself, okay? So proper ventilation is very important. So let's think about that, like you go to like a auditorium, big stadium, and then like you are with like 10,000 other people, okay? So at the beginning, it's fine, but you feel suddenly like, you know, later, like heavy, you know, feel not that in my life, because the air is contaminated by humans, okay? We are in danger, pushing the cup everywhere, right? It's good, all right? But let's not worry about that too much, because we have our system here called antioxidant. Antioxidants come here, boom, and donate the electron here and here, and then repair the damage and stop their reaction immediately, and then also repair and then, you know, like repair and then stop their reaction, okay? Stop oxygen immediately. So why is the difference of antioxidant? Gain of electron, okay? Growth of electron oxidation, gain of electron and antioxidant. So these antioxidants donate the electron. Okay, it stops everything by oxygen. So your mom was right. What did your mom say? Okay, all right, food and medicine are good, but I want to go on tea and coffee. So generally speaking, tea offers more health benefit than coffee. Boom, burning. Okay, so then how can I drink my cup of tea and coffee healthier? So if you add milk to your tea or coffee, okay, my suggestion is don't do it, because the milk protein and the polyphenols, they bind to each other and they lose their all bioavailability. Okay, so you will lose all that benefit if you add milk. Don't do it. If the purpose of drinking is your health, don't do that. How about sugar? The sugar is not going to leave any polyphenol compound in your fabric, but still sugar is sugar, so that's up to you. And then, so if you add lemon juice to your tea, totally good, okay? First of all, lemon is very good, really good for you. And then the lemon, like a lower pH, and it'll make like this headache. And the compound was stable. So as a result, you know, your effort to make, so your body will absorb more antioxidants by doing that, okay? So totally good.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.